तपोगतामृतं ताप्तजीवनं कविविरीडितं कल्मषापहं श्रवणमंगलं श्रीमदाततं भुवि गृह्णन्ति ये भूरिदायनाः. The nectar of the words is the life for those who are scorched by the world. The words which have been uttered by the knowers of truth, which wipe out sins, the very hearing of which is beneficial, which are beautiful, pleasing to the ears, pleasing to the hearts, which are inexhaustible, those who recount them on the earth are the givers of plenty. Talks with Swami Vivekananda, page 33. I was reading a letter of Swami Sivananda, which was written to Sharad Chandra Chakraborty, the Swamiji's disciple. Almora, 12th July 1914, when these two books, Swami Shishya Sangbad, this came out. So he presented the Swami, and Swami wrote him back. Yes, I have both, which is not a big volume, but a small volumes of Swami Shishya Sangbad, Swami Vivekananda and the Guru and Disciple Conversation. I read it from the beginning and end, twice. It is so beautiful. When I read, Swamiji vividly appears before me, I can see. Ordinary people are also will get great benefit from this book. The book is so popular already. The moment it was published, half have been sold out. This book contains some very important and deep and profound messages of Swamiji. When one reads it, the heart expands with great hope, with great enthusiasm. I myself experience it. Then he says that he was the postmaster general. But I hope you one day will renounce your job and join the monastery. Even these direct disciples of Ramakrishna, how they, you know, are inspired from this book. And those were revolutionaries, they used to read this book in the jail. Gita, this book, lectures from Colombo to Almora, a few books they read. And the British people unrealized that Vivekananda's books are inspiring these revolutionaries. So these books are very much, they doubted this literature and they tried to destroy them. I remember there is a book called Pathir Dabi, written by Sharad Chandra Chattopadhyay. It is a novel. The moment British found it, they banned it, destroyed it. And it went underground, spread like anything, underground. I read two, three times that book. I have a big volume. What national consciousness. If you read it, your blood will warm up, will boil. But the reason young generation would jump to fight. Very interesting. The birthday anniversary of Sri Ramakrishna at Dakshineswar, need of religious festivals, Swami Vivekananda did not preach sectarianism. That is the topics in this chapter. Place, Kali Temple at Dakshineswar and the Alam Bazar Mosque, year 1897, March. Sri Ramakrishna's birthday. I think Sri Ramakrishna's birthday, the disciples started from 1894 in Dakshineswar. Only few people would come. And they have no place to go. Monastery was a haunted house, a small place. So they would arrange that festival, Sri Ramakrishna's birthday festival, in Dakshineswar temple garden, where he lived 30 years. Now Swamiji has come to America from... Not only that, at that time there was some criticism. Even, you know, the drunkards, prostitutes, they also would come from Grisha's theater. Those people also would come and join the festivals. So some Puritan Hindus says, oh, we shall not go to that place. Then Swamiji heard about it. If you read Swamiji's letter, Swamiji said, let them not come. Sri Ramakrishna's door is open for all. Let bad people, fallen people, downtrodden people, drunkards, let them come. Their lives will be changed. Anyhow, so Swamiji, this is the first time he's attending Sri Ramakrishna's festival. He left in 1888-89, he left Calcutta, traveling all over India. Then 31st May 1893, he left Bombay and came to USA in July 1893. This translation, something, this portion, they skipped it. So I shall read what has been skipped. When Swamiji first returned to Calcutta, Alam Bazar Mosque was established. People would consider that house is a haunted house, very cheap rent. But the disciples of Ramakrishna made that house as a holy shrine. They practiced so much meditation, japam, austerity, studied the scriptures, sang and the bhajans and God's name, and made that place as a spiritual spot. Swamiji got the royal reception in Calcutta and was staying in that broken, dilapidated monastery. A rich man gave his palatial building of Gopal Lal Shields in Kashipur for Swamiji's stay for a month. So sometimes Swamiji used to stay there and sometimes he used to come to the monastery. So Ramakrishna's festival is closed. When Swamiji returned from England for the first time, the Ramakrishna Mosque was located at Alam Bazar. The birthday anniversary of Bhagavan Sri Ramakrishna was being celebrated this year at the Kali Temple of Rani Rasmuni at Dakshineswar. Swamiji with some of his brother disciples reached there from the Alam Bazar Mosque at about 9 or 10 a.m. He was barefooted with a yellow turban on his head. Crowds of people were waiting to see and hear him. In the temple of Mother Kali, Swamiji prostrated himself before the Mother of the Universe, and thousands of heads following him bent low. Then after prostrating himself before Radha Kantoji, Krishna temple, he came into the room which Sri Ramakrishna had used to occupy. There was not the least breathing space in the room. Two European ladies who accompanied Swamiji to India attended the festival. Swamiji took them along with himself to show them the holy Panchavati and the Billwa tree. Panchavati is a grove of five special trees arranged and grown to serve purpose of a special practice, spiritual practice. The Billwa is also a holy tree of that sort. Though the disciple was not yet quite familiar with Swamiji, he followed him and presented him with the copy of a Sanskrit Oji, which about the Utsav fest composed by himself. Swamiji read it while walking towards the Panchavati, and on the way he once looked aside towards the disciple and said, "Yes, it is done well. Attempt others like it. Write more." Sri Ram Swamiji did not believe in Kali. He was a Brahmo. He did not believe God with form. He did not believe theory of reincarnation. He did not believe in non-dualism, non-dualistic Vedanta. He did not believe doctrine of Guru. He did not accept Guru. Whatever the Brahmos believed, he believed. Brahmos are very westernized. They are protecting Hinduism from the conversion of Christianity. So they compromise with Christianity and Hinduism and mix their own faith. Now, that Vivekananda barefooted with the turban on, you know, Swamiji was very handsome. He first went to the Kali temple, bowed down to the mother, then Krishna temple, then came to Sri Ramakrishna's room. They gave more information. The Hormiller Company of Calcutta arranged a special steamer from Calcutta to Dakshineshwar. So the big steamers are bringing the crowds, pilgrims to Dakshineshwar from Calcutta. They know how about they are playing the music. And the disciples of Ramakrishna are moving around, both monastics and householders. And the Western devotees, of course, came. Gujuin was there, Mr. Xavier, Miss Henrietta Muller. So quite a few people are there. And Swamiji was showing Sri Ramakrishna the playground of Sri Ramakrishna. And the disciple is a new fellow. he wrote a hymn on Ramakrishna and gave to Swamiji to read. Swamiji, while walking, he read it. "Very good. Write more." Swamiji encouraged him. Now, when Swamiji came to near the Panchavati, look what happened. The householder devotees of Sri Ramakrishna happened to be assembled on one side of the Panchavati, among whom was Babu Girish Chandra Ghosh, the Bohemian devotee and a dramatist and playwright. Swamiji, accompanied by a throng, came to the Girish Babu and saluted him, saying, "Hello, here is Mr. Ghosh." Girish Babu returned his salutations with folded palms. Reminding Girish Babu of the old days, Swamiji said, "Think of it, Mr. Ghosh, from those days to these. What a transition." Girish Babu endorsed Swamiji's sentiment and said, "Yes, that is true. But yet the mind longs to see more of it." After a short conversation, Swamiji proceeded towards the willow tree. Bell tree is near the northern boundary wall of the Dakshineswara temple garden. That bell tree is meant for tantric sadhana, tantra. They put five skulls under the ground, and there Sri Ramakrishna practiced tantra. Willow tree situated on the northeast of the Panchavati. Now a huge crowd stood in keen expectancy to hear a lecture from Swamiji. But he tried his utmost. Swamiji could not speak louder than the noise and clamor of the people. Hence he had to give up attempting a lecture and left with two European ladies to show them sites connected with Sri Ramakrishna's spiritual practices and introduce them to particular devotees and followers of the Master. Here also some portions are left. When Swamiji was walking with these Western people, went to the bell tree, then Girish was talking to the other people. They are in the Panchavati area. You know, one day Haramohan was Swamiji's classmate, came to me and said that he read in the paper that some people spread some scandal against Swamiji in America. Then I told Haramohan, if I see with my own eyes that Naren, Mani Vivekananda, did anything wrong, I shall think my eyes are wrong. I shall take that eyes out from my body. He was a man of tremendous faith and conviction. Because this person cannot do anything wrong. I'm 100% sure. Sri Ramakrishna trained him. It cannot, Sri Ramakrishna is God. His words cannot be otherwise. He is ever free, ever perfect, illumined soul. He cannot have any lapses. I shall think that is the wrong in my eyes. I shall extract these eyes from my body. Ora surjodayer purbetola makhon. They are the butter before sunrise. They are floating above. They never get contaminated by the water. Those who will see fault in them, they will go to hell. So Girish was talking this way. Then Swami Niranjananda came and he was telling him, no, I went to receive Swamiji in South India. When he first came by boat to Colombo, then through Kanji, he came to Ramnad, from Ramnad, South India, Rameshwaram, then Ramnad. Then there are several places. If you see, Swamiji came and then he came to Madras, and from Madras he came to Calcutta by boat. Anyhow, so all these places Niranjananda was describing, what a reception Swamiji got in South India. Even the king, Maharaja Ramnad, pulled Swamiji's chariot, carriage, horse carriage. But what respect and tribute Swamiji got in the South. Girish Babu was overwhelmed. There is a flow of a spiritual wave all over Dakshineswara. So the audience shouted that we like to hear Swamiji's lecture. Swamiji tried at most to speak out, but there's so much commotion, so much noise, he could not make it. So he gave up. He showed them around. After 3 p.m., Swamiji said to the disciple, "Fetch me a cab, please. I must go to the mart now." The disciple brought one accordingly. Swamiji himself sat on one side and asked Niranjananda and the disciple to sit on the other, and they drove towards the Alam Bazar mart. On the way, Swamiji said to the disciple, "It won't do to live on abstract ideas merely. These festivals and the like are also necessary, for then only these ideas will just spread gradually among the masses. You see, the Hindus have got their festivals throughout the year, and the secret of it is to infuse the great ideals of religion gradually into the minds of the people. It has also its drawback. Though, for example, for people in general miss their inner significance and become so much engrossed in externals that no sooner are these festivities over than they become their old selves again. Hence, it is true that all these form the outer covering of religion, which in a way hides real spirituality and self-knowledge." It is cab, it is, I don't, it is not a cab, it is horse carriage. Cab and carriage are not the same thing, I think. Sister, they say this is two anas. The fare two anas from Dakshineshwar to Alam Bazar. Maybe a mile, maybe less than a mile. Festivity. There is a saying in our language, Baro Mashe Tero Parbun. Baro means 12. 12 months, 13 festivities. When Hindus have unending festivities, you know, Ganesh, all the gods, goddesses, and just festival. Festival after festival. Exactly. These festivals, Swamiji says, it has a tremendous effect on the masses. They do not practice japa and meditation, but festivals. Oh yes, we shall come, we shall sing, dance, we shall have prasad, we shall make jiza, decorate shrine, temple, day and night, they will work. That is the way they get joy. The abstract truth, very few people can reach, can accept. But this is masses. That is the reason few people come to Vedanta. But if you go to Hindu temple, bas. Good food, prasad, charanamrita, the temple deities, they will sing and they will repeat mantra, bas. Saturday, Sunday, you will see in Hindu temple, there are so many people. But if you ask them to meditate, pray, they don't. They will carry fruits, flowers to the temple. They feel that is religion. And priest will toss them some prasad and they're happy. Swamiji says that way very few people can penetrate in the real religion, which is realization, here inside. Which is not something is better than nothing. Swamiji says, at least the people come to see the dance and singing of the kirtan and they will get good prasad. At least once a year they will think of Sri Ramakrishna. Once a year people will come. And they will see the devotees of Sri Ramakrishna, they will hear some stories about him. It will give some good to them. Swamiji continued, "But there are those who cannot at all understand in the abstract what religion is and what the self is, And they try to realize the spirituality gradually through these festivals and ceremonies. Just take this festival celebrated today. Those that attended it will at least once think of Sri Ramakrishna. The thought will occur to their minds as to who he was, in whose name such a great crowd assembled, and why so many people came at all in his name. And those who will not feel that much even will come once in a year to see all the devotional singing and devotional dancing and singing, or at least to partake of the sacred food offerings, and will also have a look at the devotees of Sri Ramakrishna. This will rather benefit them than do any harm. Disciple: but sir, suppose somebody thinks these festivals and ceremonies to be the only thing essential. Can he possibly advance any further? They will gradually come to be commonplace observance, like the worship in our country, Shoshti and Mangal Chonji and the like. People are found to observe these rites till death. But what do we find, even one among them rising through such observances to the knowledge of Brahman? That is the disciple's question. Especially in East Bengal, in our part of the country, they are so strict to their tradition. And my mother, 12 Mangal Chonji. Once Tuesday, she will eat one meal a day, some hobishanno, boiled food and boiled vegetable. And that you will eat only one meal. And pray. Every Monday, once a month, not every Monday, once a month, one Monday a month, she will practice austerity on Shiva. One Saturday of a month, she will whole day worship, fasting. And in the evening, after the worship, she will eat. So I found 36 days a year, fasting. Then Durga, Kali, Ananta Chaturdashi, then other sub festivals, she will fast. I counted nearly 48 to 50 days a year she was fasting. Some full fast, some half fast. You know, and she was very strict about her rituals. Mongol Chonji, this and that, they follow. And once I asked, why do you do these things? Well, for your welfare, for the welfare of my children. That ancient India is disappearing. The disciple is telling people observing these, all these Hindu rituals, this and that, but nobody is going to be a Brahman, Shamiji. Why? In India, so many spiritual heroes were born, and did they not make them the means of scaling the height of greatness? When, by observing in practice through these props, they gained a vision of the self, they ceased to be keen on them. Yet for the preservation of social balance, even great men of the type of incarnations follow these observances. When the Brahmos criticized Swamiji, do you know what did they say? When Swamiji returned from America, the Brahmas told Swamiji, "We shall help you if you give up your guru worship. You should not worship Ramakrishna, then we shall help you." Then Swamiji removed Thakur's picture from the shrine, Belurma. He put a banner, "Om." Later on, I think some vision, something took place. He removed the banner, put back Sri Ramakrishna's picture there. You see, Swamiji wrote to, I think, Sarolabala Ghoshal from the Tagore family. Swamiji says, "You know, I want to see my master, Sri Ramakrishna, practice rituals." And slowly, slowly he became going to the highest of the spiritual experience, Nirvikalpa Samadhi. He says, "I have come to fulfill, not to destroy." He never disturbed anybody's faith. Go, if you have your own faith, move forward. But then he was telling that, you know, "I have seen that great saints in India, they have gone through this process. You cannot get PhD on the first day. You'll have to go to school, college, university, then PhD." That he, Swamiji, was telling the disciple, which is a gradual evolutionary process. Disciple, "Yes, they may observe this for appearance only, but when to a knower of self, Brahman, even this world itself becomes unreal like magic, is it possible for him to recognize these external observances as true?" That question I asked you, Shankaracharya of Puri in 1982. He practiced a lot of puja, worship, rituals. Shankaracharya. He is supposed to think only about "I am Brahman." So I asked him, "These rituals, how can you reconcile with non-dualistic Vedanta?" He talked quite a bit. But the answer is in Bodhisara, Narhari Acharya. He says, before God realization, this duality is bondage. After God realization, duality is Advaitadopi Sundaram. It is sweeter, more beautiful than non-dualism. Then he told a verse, Visheshareja Sudhiya Goliti Upi Bhede Bhavena Bhakti Saite Na Samarchanara Praneshareja Chaturja Milite Upi Jitte Vastranchale Vyabohito Upi Prakshaniyam. When a girl is married, she is so shy and bashful. She cannot talk in Indian society. She cannot talk with her husband in front of everybody. So what does she do? She sees her husband from a distance. She has a veil. Through the veil, a little bit opening the veil, she sees her husband from a distance. She knows from the bottom of her heart that he is my husband. He is my heart. They're unified in heart. But she loves to see her husband from a distance. Similarly, a knower of Brahman knows everything is Brahman. But for the sake of love, pushes the beloved away and watches from a distance. It's Shankaracharya. So much love for gods and goddesses. Nor a Brahman. Ramakrishna, nor a Brahman. So much love for gods and goddesses. Advaitadopi Sundaram. That is sweeter, more beautiful than. The reason why Rinpoche says, I don't want to be sugar, I want to taste sugar. If you be sugar, what does it mean? You're going to enjoy. So I want to enjoy. So I want to taste sugar. That is the view of the non-dualists. But there are some non-dualists, they do not like it. They want to, I am Brahman, dry. Dry non-dualism. Brahman, Maya, Maya, Brahman. What next? Nothing. External observation, that's true. Swamiji, why not? Is not our idea of truth also a relative one? Bearing in relation to time, place, and person. Hence, all observances have their utility, relatively to be varying qualifications in men. It is just as Sri Ramakrishna used to say, that the mother cooks pulao and kaliya, rich dishes, for one son, and shagu for another. Sri Ramakrishna, what Sri Ramakrishna said. Nitya theke lila. Nitya, absolute, lila, relative. Nitya theke lila. What is the Vedantic process? Neti neti atma, not this, not this, not this. They negate everything. Then they go to the Atman. After realizing God, they come back and they see iti iti, everything, everything, everything is God, everything is Brahman. From neti, iti. Neti means not this, iti means everything is God. So this is the process. Absolute, relative. First from relative you go to the absolute, then this relative transforms into God consciousness, Brahman. That is the truth. But relative truth, gods, goddesses, worship, puja, holy company, you know, service to the guru, service to God. This is all equally true. But not absolutely true. But these are helpful. You know what Sri Ramakrishna said? If a clerk misappropriated the money of a company, he's a cashier or an accountant, he was discharged, he was thrown out. What will he do? He was in jail, came out. Again, he will try to get a job of an accountant or clerk. A kirani, jail theke eshe dhi dhi kore najbe, will he dance? He will again find out that kind of job. So after God's realization, when you come to this world, you become a blessing to humanity. You will be an inspiration to humanity. You will be a role model to humanity. People will worship you, love you, respect you. That is the way we adore our saints and seers of truth in India, in every country, in every religion. We adore the saints, the God-men, the spiritually awakened souls. That's what Swamiji was talking about. Moreover, absolute non-dualism, very few people can understand. You need tremendous renunciation. So we must cultivate devotion so that we can establish relationship with God. Now the disciple understood at last and kept quiet. Meanwhile, the carriage arrived at Alambazar Mott. The disciple followed Swamiji into the mott, where Swamiji, being thirsty, drank some water. Then, coaching office, coach, he arrested. Coach, shirt, it is not coat. He rested recumbent on the blanket spread on the floor. Swami Niranjananda seated by his side and said, "We never had such a great crowd in any year's Utsav before, as if the whole of Calcutta flocked there." Swamiji, it was quite natural. More glorious things than will happen hereafter. I do not like this world, just stranger things. That the strange words nowadays used in a different way. It is just the beginning, Swamiji said. There are so many things will happen in the future that we see nowadays in Belur Math. Ramakrishna's festival. Millions of people come. One thing I tell you. This year, it was 1897. Trilokonath Vishwas, Mathur's son, the owner of the Kali temple, allowed Swamiji to perform the Swamiji's Thakur's festival there. From next year, he did not give permission. Why? Because Swamiji came to America. He has become outcast in the society. Our Shankari Prasad Bosu wrote a long chapter on that how Swamiji was not allowed to come to Dakshineshwar because he came to America. And now Rashmuni's family, their children are now in America. Kalpana's son is a doctor, I think in Tennessee or somewhere. They are dying to come to America now. But next year, the festival was held at Das Thakur Badi. It is in Belur Monastery, just north of the Belur Monastery. There is a beautiful temple complex. There the festival was held. Then from then on, it happened, it was held in Belur Math. I wrote in one place. Vanji Swamiji was standing in Belur Math. You can see Dakshineshwar diagonally in this way, the other side of the Ganges. So Swamiji was looking at Dakshineshwar. And so many old memories came to his mind about his days with Sri Ramakrishna. Then he told Swami Akhandananda, "It is good that they did not allow us to perform the Ramakrishna's birthday celebration there. It is Master's will. We shall have our own. We should not be attached to Dakshineshwar. In Belur Math, where he installed Sri Ramakrishna's relics. But from this place, and one day you will see, our embankment will be taller than Dakshineshwar. Now, I think nearly more than a mile, the Ganges side, we occupied our monastery. From Nilambar Babu's garden house up to that, quite a bit. I think 15, 20 minutes it will take for you to go from one border to another border, the whole Ganges. In 1950s, the Ganges was heating our ground and taking our land. Then government gave us money. So they put that shalbala, some tree, some wooden, like your telephone pole, that is that kind of thing. They hit with a big, big hammer under the ground. And then, do you know what did they do? They put a net. Inside the net, they put the rock and then drop it. Because if you put the single rock, it will be, the current will hit and take them away so that the current cannot take our rocks away. In a net, wire net, put rocks and drop, 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 so that no more erosion from our monastery. You see the embankment, those are things in front east of the Swamiji's temple all along, that came in 1950s. Day and night they worked to protect the monastery. So many changes I saw. Disciple, sir, in every religious sect are found to exist external festivals of some kind or other, but there is no amity between one sect and another in this matter. Even in the case of such a liberal religion as that of Muhammad, I have found in Dhaka that the Shias and the Sunnis go to loggerheads with each other. Festivals, it differs from sect to sect, and how those all are Muslims, but they among them also there's fight. It was just today's paper I was watching. Somebody, this is a Sunni Muslim, he put a vest with a bomb and went to a Sufi worship place and blew himself up and killed 8 people and 20 people injured. Muslims against the Muslims. No, they are not real Muslim. How sects are fight among themselves. Swamiji, that is incidental, more or less, wherever you have sects. But do you know what the ruling sentiment amongst us is? Non-sectarianism. Our Lord was born to point that out. He would accept all forms, but would say withal that, looked at from the standpoint of the knowledge of Brahman, they are only like illusory Maya. It is a very beautiful word, non-sectarism, asampradayik, sampradaya vihinata. Swamiji was in Lahore. In Lahore, the Arjya Samaj, the Brahmo Samaj, Arjya Samaj, the western part of that part of UP and Punjab, Arjya Samajis, they are very strong. They are also fighting to protect Hinduism from the Christianity. Dayananda Saraswati was the founder, and he met Sri Ramakrishna. So Lala Hongsaraj was the head of the Arjya Samaj, told Swamiji that why don't you preach Ramakrishna? He said, no, it is sectarianism, sect, it expands fast and dies fast. I only speak about the principle, not the person. Swamiji said, I have the power. I think I can bring 1/3 of the people of the world under the banner of Sri Ramakrishna, but I shall never do that. Then it will be a sect, Ramakrishna sect. Some of my brother disciples are eager to do that. I tell them, no. Because we shall base our philosophy on principle, Upanishad, truth, impersonal. Personality cult, do you know what? As long as you are a big guru and this and that, the moment you die, you shall go. Personality spreads first and dies first, but principle. Our order is based on the principle, the eternal truth of the Vedas and the teachings of Ramakrishna. That is our base. Swami will come, Swami will go, we do not care. Our principle will be there. Universal teachings of Sri Ramakrishna, Vivekananda, they are our guiding force. It is not one man's show, it is not a personality cult, personal cult. That he is talking about. Sampradayahinata. Non-sectarianism is our motto. No sects. Swamiji says sects are good, but sectarianism is horrible. Swamiji says, let everyone has his own sect. You have your own sect, he has his own sect, I have my own sect. That is good. But sectarianism means I am better than you are no good. There the fighting begins. That is called sectarianism. Emotion is good, but emotionalism is not good. Emotion is good. That helps us to move forward. Love, emotion, feelings. But too much emotion brings a person unbalanced. Sect is good, sectarianism is not good. Emotion is good, emotionalism is not good. Disciple. Sir, I can't understand your point. Sometimes it seems to me that by thus celebrating these festivals, you are also inaugurating another sect around the name of Sri Ramakrishna. I have heard it from the lips of Nag Mahashaya that Sri Ramakrishna did not belong to any sect. He used to pay great respect to all creeds, such as Shaktas, the Vaishnavas, the Brahmas, the Muslims, and the Christians. Swamiji, how do you know that we do not also hold in as great esteem all the religious creeds? So saying, Swamiji called out in evident amusement, laughingly, it is not amusement, to Niranjananda, look what this Bengal is saying. Bengal means the person who is from East Bengal. I am also a Bengal. Do you know what Bengal means? It is a derogatory word. That means you are a countryside fellow. Just a rustic countryside fellow, not very... Calcutta people, you know, they think we are very cultured, you know, very sophisticated and civilized. We are like uncivilized people. Bengal means good for nothing. My aunt was a Calcutta lady, you know. She used to call me Bengal. My uncle was a doctor and he married a Calcutta lady. I was with them for 1 year in first year college. Hey, Bengal! Because I came from countryside, from the village, but we have a strong common sense. Swami is telling, hey, Bengal. Swami Sivananda wrote that letter. Priyo Sharot Bengal. Within bracket. His name is Sharot Chandra Chakravarti. He says, Priyo Sharot within bracket Bengal. That is Swamiji gave an engineering name. Hey, Bengal. Means I love you. Disciple, kindly make me understand, sir, what you mean? Swamiji, well, you have, to be sure, read my lectures. But where have I built Sri Ramakrishna's name? It is only the pure Upanishadic religion that I have gone about preaching in the world. I shall stop here tonight. Very interesting. You know, I like this book. Do you know why? Because I can see personal aspect, personal life. It is not in the, from the podium I'm giving a boom, boom, boom a lecture. I want to see that personal life, how they interact with each other. That makes me happy, joy. I get joy.